All right, we'll go to Matthew, if I can find my Bible.
There it is.
It's been one of them days. I did get a nap, though. That's the problem. Well, all right, if I can get into my paperwork, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3 on some biblical doctrines. Matthew chapter 3, if you'll turn there, that's in the New Testament, last time I checked, and it's not that far from Genesis, but anyway. All right, Matthew chapter 3, one simple verse to start with, verse 11, Matthew 3 verse 11, John the Baptist, well, let's read verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet," you can say Isaiah if you want to, or Esaias, "saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meets for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we've got now that we can come to your word, open the bread of life, feed our spirits. Lord, give us understanding, give us discernment. Help us, Lord, to use it for your honor and your glory. It's all about you. It's all about Jesus. We thank you for it. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, now the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people get this really confused. And they confuse this with salvation. The Bible never speaks really of a person being baptized by the Holy Spirit. You won't find that in here. The baptism of the Holy Spirit we're going to get into here in a moment. I want us to have an understanding of what John was talking about. The Holy Spirit really is the least understood person in the Trinity. Matter of fact, and be careful about doing this, and we're all guilty of it. When I say it, you'll know it. But a lot of times we'll use the word "it" for the Holy Spirit. And we're not meaning anything wrong with it, but listen. There's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're all three persons. They're one manifest in three. When you're talking about the Holy Spirit, you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about God, because Jesus is God. Amen. So now his distinct, divine, and eternal he is. The Holy Spirit has a vital and personal function, really, in working with mankind by and through the Word of God to bring about God's will in the lives of men and women. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. When you read about why the Comforter come, it was to open our hearts and minds to Jesus. Who does the convicting in a church service or wherever we're at, sitting in a pickup truck in the parking lot? I've led people to the Lord. You don't have to be in a church. Who does the conviction? Who makes that person realize, wow, I need Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. That's his job. Now, in the Old Testament, people of God, they were led by the Spirit. Some were filled with the Spirit. But it never mentions that they were baptized with the Spirit. It says they were filled with the Spirit. They were led with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptism really, honestly, was reserved for the New Testament church that the Lord Jesus started. He started that church on the seashores of Galilee, and listen, they didn't need the Spirit. They had Jesus. What better pastor to have than the chief shepherd himself? I mean, that's like, wow. And you ever, when you're reading in the Bible, you're reading the Gospels, and you hear Peter. Peter wants to pop off, you know. He wants to say something stupid or something just boom right out there. And he was talking to Jesus, God, face to face. You know, when you think about that, you're like, wait a minute. Was that a smart move? But Abraham did the same thing. Well, now, Lord, if there's 50 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you save it? Well, sure I would. Well, yeah, but what if 45? I mean, he sat there and bartered with God. And you're like, you ever done that? I'm going to be up front with you. I bartered with him. Be careful doing that, though, because he does hold you to it. But, you know, when you read about it, it's like, wow. Anyway, I better get back to where I was at. I was chasing a rabbit. John the Baptist prophesied, really, this event. We just read it in verse 11. He said, there is one coming. Now, he was talking to all these people out there that would eventually follow Jesus and be in the church that Jesus started. That's who he was speaking to. Now, they didn't all stick with him and stay with it, but they all started with him. Andrew and John later were standing. Was it John that was with him? Yeah. They were standing there, and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. And they said, oh. And they went to him and followed him. They were part of the church. That's when they became part of the church that the Lord Jesus started. Now, John the Baptist was really speaking to save people. It was people that had come to him and repented for their wrong. The baptism didn't save them, but the repentance did, admitting that they were lost without it, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without that repenting. And what was John's, basically John, he wasn't preaching Jesus on the cross. He was preaching the kingdom that was to come. And it ain't got here yet. Will be. I don't think it's that far off. It's at least 7 years. Could be 107 years. I don't know. But we got to get raptured first. You know, first there's we live in the church age, which is, listen, the best place to live. When the church age is done, the rapture is going to happen and pew, we're out of here. You know, my dad asked me the other day, he said, you don't think about this. He said, and I've said this before, but he came up to me, he said, you know, I was thinking the other day, son, he said, you know, we're going to see people pop out of the ground. I said, well, I said, I ain't sure it's going to quite be like that. But, you know, I've said it before. You're going to look out there, boom, and then all of a sudden, boom, and away we go. It's going to be pretty fast. It says a twinkling of an eye. I ain't traveled that fast yet, but I'm working on it. They ain't come up with the car yet for me. But nonetheless, we're living in blessed times. We're seeing things coming to be that, look, Jesus is right around the corner. We need to be ready. All right, back to where I was at. On the day of Pentecost, the church was baptized by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the book of Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. Chapter 1. No, I lied to you. Chapter 2. Well, I misinformed you. I'll put it that way. Chapter 2 of Acts says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That in itself is amazing. Amen. That they were in one place, in one accord. Who was they? That was who he told to go wait for me. Go wait. I'm going to send the comforter to you. He said, you go and wait. That wasn't all the people that had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of them had backed off and quit following Jesus. Lots of reasons. One, it wasn't a popular thing to do. Somebody walked up to you in Jesus' day and said, you a Christian? You'd say no. That's why when they arrested Jesus, they all scattered. Sure, Peter had a pretty good showing to start with. But when he realized, whoa, they done took Jesus down, I'm out of here. and they all ran. But it wasn't a popular thing. But Jesus told them, all of them, to go there and to wait for him. Now, what are they waiting on? They're waiting on the Comforter. And it was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These were saved people. The baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't for salvation. It was for power. Yes. From on high. That's what he told them. All right. What was that? Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. It wasn't fire. It was like that. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the baptism, it completely engulfed that whole group of people. It immersed that entire church in the Holy Spirit as he filled that room. And they were all there. They were standing, they were sitting, but we know at least it was 120 of them, because that's what the Bible says. There was 120 in the upper room. They had a business meeting. Now, I have my own beliefs on that business meeting. I won't go there. That's chasing a rabbit. All right, we'll go after the squirrel. They chose, somebody picks on me over there about chasing rabbits. They said, you know what? We need another apostle. Listen, Jesus had all that worked out. I'm not saying they were wrong, but I'm going to say, in gemology, I think they were supposed to wait. But they prayed about it. They went through the right way. They had a business meeting, and they chose Matthias. And you don't hear anything else about Matthias. But anyway, that's a whole other story. So now the baptism, what did it do? It equipped and empowered the Lord Jesus' church to complete the mission that he's laid out for us. Acts 1:8, Matthew 28:18-20. We're to go out and tell others about Jesus when they get saved. Really, if we can't get them if they don't get saved when we witness to them, bribe them. Hey, I'll buy you a steak dinner. Come to church with me. Ask them, would you please come to church with me? Listen, we ought to be trying to get people into church however we possibly can. Now, I don't think we ought to rope them and drag them in. Might get in a little trouble, but nonetheless, I think we ought to try to invite them to dinner. Most folk don't turn down food. You invite me, I'll eat. I've never had a problem with... I've always had a problem with turning down food. try to get them in. But the idea is once they get saved, then they get baptized. And then we start teaching. They need to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just get saved. You got a ticket out of hell and boom. Now what I do? Nothing. Just go on about your business. Listen, if all it was to get saved, I'm going to heaven. You'd get saved, fall over dead. Which might have been better anyway, because I wouldn't have gotten a lot more trouble than what I got in. But anyway, that's not what it's all about. Listen, there is 66 books that tell us what it's all about. There's a lot of things. That's ice cream. You remember that. It really is. So we have that great commission that we're to do. But that's what... the Holy Spirit does for us. It empowers the entire church. Do you realize the power that a New Testament local, I'll say it this way, local New Testament church has? It has more powers than anything on the face of this earth. They don't even have a clue of the power that the church has. It locked us down. Can't go to church. Listen, they should have been telling everybody, go to church, we need help. Because the scientists can't figure it out. Remember what, never mind, I won't tell you what I told you this morning. I got in trouble for that. About the BB. The baptism of the Holy Spirit brought the gift of the Holy Spirit himself to dwell in the midst of his church. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to stay away from my screen. Acts chapter 1, and what verse do I want to read? I lost my place. 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. See, it's not about salvation. Now, when you get saved, don't get me wrong, don't misunderstand me. When you get saved, the Holy Ghost moves in. Ain't nothing you can do to stop it. Boom, it happens. And whether you like it or not, a change starts happening. You might fight that change, but eventually, some of those changes take place. The Holy Ghost moves in. But when the Holy Ghost moved upon them, it gave them an unreal power. There was a gift that the Holy Spirit came upon them. And one of these days, we'll get into special gifts. But they started speaking in tongues. Especially Peter. And some of them said, oh, they're drunk. They wasn't drunk. It was pretty early. But they weren't speaking some little gibberish. They were actually speaking a language. It was kind of like, well, Ramona ain't in here. But she speaks Spanish. And I don't, trust me. I have a hard time speaking English. I speak Southern. And so she speaks Spanish, and then let's say Freddie speaks whatever. He speaks Nevadan. And we got an Italian back there, so maybe he speaks Italian. And we have an American Indian in the back here. Maybe he speaks whatever they speak. And maybe if my Navajo ladies were here, they would. The only thing I'd say in Navajo is Nohohe. That means chicken. But anyway, but they all hear it in their own tongue. But I'm speaking it in my tongue. That's what all that gift was. Do we have that anymore? No, we don't have that anymore. But that's what was going on. And they were empowered by that. And I'm going to be honest with you. The church cannot. We can't do anything apart of the church. Jesus said if you're not part of that vine that he started, you can't do anything for him. John chapter 15, that's what he's talking about. You must be part of the vine. It's part of what he started. That's not talking about salvation because he's talking to saved people. He was talking to his apostles. He said you need to be a part of what's going on because he knew what was coming eventually and it was going to grow and spread. Which is exactly what it did. It grew and spread and unreal. Now, we're doing all right. We're not going to finish it, but we're doing okay. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it gave them that gift that they had. It was the promise of the Father. And really subsequently, all New Testament churches have the gift of the Holy Spirit himself dwelling in their midst. And those who submit to him in salvation, baptism, and church membership receive the promise that was given to them. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter was, at that time, he was the head of that church. He was the one preaching. It was the church at Jerusalem, and they were all there, and he said, listen, repent. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Repent, be baptized, come join in with us. And I lost my, there it is, in 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Uh-oh. You got to be called by the Lord. Calvinist. Who knows what a Calvinist is? That's an egghead, what it is. Calvinists, this is what Calvinists is. They teach this. You ever heard of this? Who's heard of John MacArthur? Don't be shy. Raise your hand. All right. I'm going to be honest with you. John MacArthur's got some good things. But John MacArthur is a dangerous man. Because John MacArthur is teaching people that some of us are born going to heaven and some of us are born going to hell. I got news for you. He's full of hogwash. He's as crooked as a dog's hind leg. That's wrong. We've all got the opportunity to be saved. I don't care how wicked you are. I don't care how good you think you are. We've all got that opportunity. It's up to us whether we accept it. Bless you. Who did that? That was pitiful. No. My dad can let one go and everybody in here would be deaf after. But anyway. And he'll probably watch this. He may be watching this. I'm probably in trouble. But he lives a long way from here. So I'll be okay. Listen. You see what was going on that day? The Spirit came down and empowered what Jesus had begun. And when Jesus began that, it grew. And I don't know how many he had. I don't know how many was in that church membership. I really don't. I do know that he went up in a mountain to pray, and when he came down, he chose out of all of his disciples, 12 of them to be apostles, to carry on the work, so to speak, and to have those gifts that were going to be given to them. Peter and Paul and John, and Paul was later, of course, but listen, they had special powers. They had special gifts that I don't have. If I had that, I'd be down at the hospital all day long. I wouldn't get no sleep. I don't have that. They had that kind of power up until the Word of God was complete. 1 Corinthians 13, when the Word of God was complete, all of that ended. Now, like I said, I ain't going to finish, so that's just life. But they were preaching, and Peter says, listen, guys, he said, you can be a part of what Jesus started. Jesus started this while he was here, and yeah, he did tell them, you guys killed him. I don't think Peter totally understood it all yet. He was still getting it together, but he told him, he said, you can be a part of it. And they got saved, and they joined in with him, and it says in verse 41, it said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They got in there and they started working with them because that's what it was all meant to be. And the church grew. The Holy Spirit empowered that group of people to the point that fear fell on that whole place. There was one time they were all praying and the earth quaked. And Peter got led out of jail by an angel. Listen, it can still happen today. We can pray and turn this entire world around. I've read the end of the book. I know that it's all going to come to a halt. But it's on God's time, not mine. And if it couldn't be slowed up or stopped for a while, God would have said, when you get saved, I'm going to just take you on out. We're not just supposed to sit down and forget about it. We have got to stay busy doing the Lord's work and praying. Praying is the most powerful weapon in the world. Amen. They just, listen, I meant to mention this morning. The church is a fortress. And it has soldiers. And it is the most powerful fortress on the face of this earth. It can open doors and shut doors. And it can't nothing, they can't stop it. They can't change it, but it's all up to us. That one thing that it mentioned earlier, they were all in one place of one accord. That's what it takes. It takes us, the Lord's local church, to be in one place and to be of one accord and to be serious. And you'd be surprised what can take place in the Lord's work. I've seen things that just blew my mind. I've seen people get saved that I thought, nah, you ain't never. I won't mention names, and I've told you this the other day. There's some things that's been going on in my family for years, mostly what's in Colorado. I've seen part of that change. And honestly, if you'd asked me 2 months ago, could that ever change? I'd tell you no. And I told my mom, because my mom had been brokenhearted about it for over 10 years. I told my mom, I said, Mom, I said, outside of God, it ain't never going to heal itself. But there's also more to that story that's God's working other things out just today. It was kind of slow going with what was happening, But nonetheless, certain people were at certain people's house. God is working with that family. And listen, I'm praying for them. And only God can fix what took place. Through Him, everything is possible. Everything. There is nothing impossible with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the church gets together and prays and gets serious about things, stuff changes. People change. Hearts change. There's power in prayer, and there's power in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's power in His New Testament church.